Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Taylor Richard with Third Fathom Films. Welcome, Taylor.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Third Fathom. How are you serving folks?
So Third Fathom is a production company based in Atlanta, started in 2011, and we are a independent film and movie studio. So we create films, get them out, and hopefully we're serving people's entertainment, especially during these times where everyone is, you know, keeping a low profile in quarantine.
Now, when you're a filmmaker like yourself, is your work primarily your own original productions, or do companies hire you to make like kind of films for their business or any other thing like that?
So yeah, it's a mixture of both. So there's content that we do, that I write, that some of my partners write, that we shoot and film and distribute. And it's also content that we are brought onto to help other filmmakers create and realize.
So now, is your work primarily like fiction, or do you do documentary, or do you have do different genres?
We're full service. So we'll do, you know, horror. Right now most recently, we've done a horror film, but we've done documentaries. There are a couple of documentaries that we have coming up that we're working on now. We do drama, comedy, so pretty much everything.
So now, do you help in kind of the creative side, or do you help in the financing and funding side? What's the scope of your work?
Yeah, well, I'm a writer, director, and a producer, so I pretty much handle everything above the line. So I will help with pre-development, fundraising, you know, and as well as on the back end of distributing and getting things out and making sure that people can watch the stuff that we create.
So now, how has the film industry changed over the last, like, say, since the pandemic even?
Interesting enough, for companies like mine, we become kind of highly sought after because we're so accustomed to making films on the lower budget scale and having less people on set. Larger productions are trying to figure out a way back to, you know, create and be bountiful, but with a smaller production. So we're getting in a lot of conversations with bigger production companies on how to uncover those opportunities to, you know, manage a smaller set, but still getting the bang for the buck. So we've been doing this for a few years. And so it's really interesting to watch us, you know, walk into those conversations and help people do things that we do naturally.
So now, do certain genres work better in this kind of low budget world?
I think all of it's really difficult to navigate, to be quite honest. I mean, when you talk about acting and creating a film, it's pretty close. People are pretty close together. And so really figuring out how to write things and create things that have the same impact where people aren't as close as they were a tradition in the past until there's a vaccine or some, you know, type of help to help curtail coronavirus.
So when you're doing your planning, so you just have to be mindful of that in the budgeting in terms of safety and the way you kind of space people and things like that?
Well, yeah, that and also in the budget, you know, testing. We have to test people for COVID and then, you know, test them again through the production. On average, you know, 3 weeks production, you're probably going to have a three-week test once every week, trying to quarantine people. So there's going to be extended costs for housing and places where you can put people in Airbnbs where they can quarantine together after they've been tested. So it's definitely increasing the budget from the safety and mitigation standpoint.
Right. And that was probably never in your budget, you know, a year ago.
No, not at the level that it's at now. That's for sure.
So now, what's the most rewarding part of the process for you?
For me, it's still watching my work come to life, sitting back, you know, and watching it on screen. It's a magical experience. You know, you think about, you know, people think filmmaking is glamorous and they only see red carpets and things like that. But the reality is it's very gruesome. It's a hard job, specifically if you film in a terrain like Georgia where it's hot and muggy at times and you're shooting outside. Sitting back and watching your work come to life and you see it and you're like, wow, I remember when I just conceptualized this idea and now here it is living and breathing on screen. It's a powerful moment.
Now, in your work, how does the hiring of actors work? Is this a good market for actors in Georgia?
Absolutely. I think the actors here are phenomenal. And I think they're heavily underutilized. I think, you know, watching all the talent that Georgia has to offer sometimes get overlooked by, you know, the LA group. You know, they come in and they shoot their stuff and they tend to bring their actors with them. But I think Atlanta has a lot of phenomenal talent. And I really encourage all producers who are out there and casting agents that are booking to really dig into the crop that is in Atlanta, because there's some great talent here.
So now, as part of your role of leading your organization, is that something that you have to kind of be wired in with? You got to be wired in with all the agents and all the casting directors and things like that? Or do you just hire them and you just have your favorites?
No, it's a relationship. With every project, you're going to have to find the persons or person that is most suitable. So if you have casting agents in there, primarily representing African-American, you know, performers, and you have an African-American lead, you're going to want to deal with them. If you have an agent who is primarily into using, you know, women, and that's what they focus on, and you have a role for a female, every agent, every casting person is going to have their niche, and the big thing is to have a relationship with all of them, and to get to know all of them and to find an opportunity to work with all of them. That's all about networking. This business is a networking game, and facilitating those relationships can determine your success.
Now, in the years you've been doing this, and you've been doing this for a minute, how has that changed? Are there just a lot more folks in the film industry today than there were when you started?
Absolutely. You know, I started this in 2011 with our first feature film, and I remember we were shooting in Covington, Georgia, where everything really was at the time. It was Savannah, it was Covington. Atlanta was here, and they were doing things, but it wasn't as big as it is now. And just watching everything grow has been amazing, and just watching us grow in the midst of all of this has been great. I'm one of the lucky people that get to do what I do full time every day, you know, since leaving corporate America. And I'm very grateful for that.
So what's your backstory? How did you get into filmmaking?
So I went to school for film in undergrad and then graduated and went and got my master's in business. I have an MBA. And so I ended up working in corporate America. I took a job at Blockbuster and then in that corporate office. And then they were, you know, on the decline. And I jumped ships and ended up going to AT&T, where I spent many years working in their Bell South footprint. In the tech services, and just missed creating. I was writing short stories. I was doing things. And then I had an idea for a feature. And I met Zach Davis, who it was at the time is my writing partner. He had done a couple of books and he wanted to get more into the film thing. And we wrote the final project together in 2011. And that movie came out in 2015, 2016. It released twice. That's why I said both years. But yeah, that's how it all started. I have a producer hat as well, because it's my business acumen and my background in business that has helped me really push us forward. I think it's very important for creatives to understand the creative side and the business side as well.
Now, in your work, and you're trying to, like, if your first film wasn't successful, would that have been it, or could that have been it, or was it something that success of that film helped kind of catapult you to a new level?
To be honest with you, it was a mixed bag with my first film. Financially successful, critically not successful, and so that decision did come up. I keep going. And I decided to learn craft, and I ended up going to school and getting my MFA in film. to better understand craft because I felt like I was naturally gifted in the business side of it. But the craft side of it, there were things I needed to learn and things I had to grow on. So to answer your question, no, that was never an option for me to walk away, no matter what film I do. You're going to hit some out the park. Some of them you're not going to do a great job on. That's what any filmmaker, any of them, Steven Spielberg, there are some movies you love, there are some movies you don't love. But when you are a creator and this is what you're called to do, you just kind of get on with it, you know, pick up your shoulders and take the lick and keep it moving. So I never had an option in my brain to walk away.
Now, is there any kind of clues? Can you tell, like, at what point can you tell, like, hey, this is going to be good or this is not going to be good? Or, like, is there any kind of sense of that? Or do you just go boldly forward once you kind of commit?
To be honest with you, I usually know what kind of situation we're working with in pre-production. If pre-production goes well and we're doing all the things we need to do and we meet all of our deadlines and all of our metrics, then we're going to have a good shoot. Because we've managed for that. And if we are mitigating those things with, you know, room for unexpected errors, we're going to have a good shoot. And when I think about my first film to my second film went much more smoothly. And it was a way bigger film that should have had a lot of issues, but it didn't because we did a great job of pre-production. With my first film, I thought I knew everything that I needed to know, and it was a hot mess. So it really just depends on how well you do pre-production. You can really manage the outcome of your film if you prepare well.
That sounds like great advice for any business owner. The more you can kind of prepare and create that strong foundation, the better, higher likelihood of being successful.
True story.
So now, what's next for you guys? What do you got on the horizon?
Well, right now we're working on, obviously, our film Hallow Be Thy Name just came out June 30th. And so we're still, you know, in the cycle with that, enjoying all of the new fans to Third Fathom. And we have another film releasing in November called Summer Doesn't Lie. It's an international film by a great filmmaker from Ecuador. And we're working on our 2021 slate. So we've been really fortunate to have projects that were already completed when all these things shut down, that we were able to release and keep ourselves and keep our audiences engaged. So that's been a great thing for us. But now it's just making sure that we are prepared and prepped and ready for January 1 to hit the ground rolling with our new slate of films.
Now, do you think there's going to be a pent up demand for production like coming in the next year where it's going to be kind of gangbusters? People have kind of figured out a system, you know, whether it's kind of creating your own little bubble like the NBA has done or creating your own kind of safety area to manage shooting in the coming year?
Absolutely. I think Tyler Perry is leading the example on that with the way he has, you know, rolled out his call to go back to productions. I think is phenomenal. And I think we all are trying in some way to mimic that ideology to keep ourselves safe and keep the people that work with us safe. But there's definitely a call for more, you know, more work and more content, because these streaming services, you know, they can only do repeats so long. They need content to survive. And that's what we do. That's our gift to the industry. And so January is very important for pretty much all of us.
And do you think Georgia is uniquely qualified to be able to pull something like this off between having a role model like Tyler Perry here and having kind of a pro-business leadership that it's helping kind of get business up and running faster than maybe in some other areas?
Absolutely. I think what our industry, because I consider us essential. And the reason why I say that is because whenever the coronavirus hit and we were all home, you had to turn on your TV and you had to watch the content. You had to allow it to keep you entertained. What we do is essential for times like this. And I think is essential going forward. And I believe that Georgia is very poised to respond to this and to rise to the challenge. There are some phenomenal filmmakers here and some great film leaders here. And I think that we just got to keep moving forward, figure out our way to keep everyone safe, but keep shooting and keep shooting film and keep creating content, good content, and getting out there and partnering with all of these distribution platforms and exhibition platforms to make sure our work is seen. I think this is a greater moment than any, especially if you're a startup, to really get yourself out there. Because at this point, you talking months and months of no new content, people are hungry for new content. So if you got something, if you have that script and you're sitting at home and trying to figure it out, just go shoot it. Shoot it and get it out there.
Now, what do you need more of? How can we help?
What we need more of from someone like me, what I need more of is more resources in regards to any completed projects that are out there that are looking for distribution. Reach out to us. I can get movies anywhere. I've had a unique experience with releasing films and learned the distribution game at a high level. And now we're able to provide deals for upcoming filmmakers, for filmmakers who are established, and even larger productions who try to figure out ways to reintroduce projects that they've done, that they've reclaimed the rights on. ThirdFathom.com, or reach out to us on Instagram at ThirdFathom Films. Tell us your story. Send us your script. Send us something. We can help, and we can help get this moving along.
Good stuff. Well, Taylor, congratulations on all your success, and we really appreciate what you're doing here in the Atlanta and serving the community and, you know, creating the art, like you said, that matters.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it. You guys do a great job, and thanks for having me on the show.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.